It's a big day for us here at the Rich Eisen Show.
Turn those machines back on!
Guess who's back?
Hit the drop! Let's go! We go
party! This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Anyway, long story short, it is exciting. We go
party! Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Coming up, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, co-host of CBS This Morning and the NFL Today, Nate Burleson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Louis Riddick in hour number one. Great chat coming up with Nate Burleson in hour number three of this program. Overreaction Monday. Preseason football be damned. Of course we're going to overreact to that. Yeah. Oh, who cares if it doesn't count in the standings? It matters. We'll have that. By the way, I've been out of the chair for a whole month. I'm back here in this chair later on in hour number three. Some of the three items that I was out of the chair for.
Yeah, three big stories that you missed.
Can I quickly preview them? What do you think?
Why don't I preview them? Ian's on the phone.
We'll get to Ian in just one quick second. Here we go. The three things I'm going to be hitting later on. This is a tease. This is like, you got to stick around to hear my takes, if you will. One, the Field of Dreams game.
Yes.
Two, Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC because it means more.
See ya.
And three, the fantastical plexiglass bubble of Kirk Cousins.
Is that a good fantasy name?
I might be our fantasy team. The fantastical plexiglass bubble of Kirk Cousins.
Yikes.
Guys, I told you to build me a plexiglass bubble when I was coming back.
Yeah.
You must have forgotten it.
I thought Del Tufo was him.
Yeah, Mike, I got enough things I was doing.
My colleague from the NFL Media Group, one of my favorite people in all the land, Ian Rappaport, at Rapsheet to follow him, back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ian?
What's going on, Rich? How are you?
I'm feeling good, man. I've been eager to sit back in this chair, and here I am. And I appreciate you joining me on my first show back. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There's nowhere else I'd rather be. I mean, I'm literally where I usually am, but I'm just saying.
By the way, that's the longer version of what Marv Levy used to say. Yeah, where would you rather be than right here where you usually are sitting? Like, that doesn't have the same ring to it. You know what I'm saying?
I feel motivated. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Now, you've been at this a long time. You've been there. You've done that. Have you ever heard of a precautionary MRI before? You know, just to stick yourself in that tube just to see what's what, just to make sure you're feeling good about yourself? Or what is going on with Dak Prescott right now?
I actually have.
You have heard of that?
I have. Okay. Many, many, many times. And this is all so normal. The fact that everyone treated it as not normal, I was, like, fairly surprised.
Okay.
And then I saw the tweet that the Cowboys themselves put out.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, I get it. Now I understand why everyone freaked out, because their tweet was basically the equivalent of like, hey, no offense, but, and you're like, whoa, why did you just offend me? They were like, don't freak out. It's all normal. Dak's getting an MRI. And I'm like, now I have to freak out. Like, it was ridiculous. But I also know that the Cowboys Twitter account, much like a website, are not run by the football people. They kind of have their own mind. So I get it.
Okay.
Dak is going to be okay. He really is. It really is precautionary. It really is non-structural. He really is going to be fine.
Why are they consulting the Yankees and the Rangers then? What's that all about? Is that precautionary too?
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees and the Rangers thing I thought was kind of interesting, mainly because Dak has a pitcher's injury. Like, it feels like if you kind of put your hands probably like 6 inches under your underarm,
okay,
that's kind of where it seems like the injury is, which is, I feel like, a sort of follow-through pitcher injury rather than a quarterback injury. It's just not something they see all the time. If you have access to good medical sources, like the good Cowboys people do,
okay,
then consult them. And, you know, it makes sense. It's due diligence. It is a quarterback, so freaking out is expected and okay. But Dak really is going to be fine.
Okay, so Dak is going to be your week one starter. Let's just all just take the old proverbial chill pill. He's going to be the week one starter. Is there anything going on with Jalen Smith, Ian? What's going on with him?
Well, I would not say nothing is going on. I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do. I will say that. But the sort of recent online chatter is kind of similar to where it was last year, except, you know, look, Jalen Smith, I think at one point the Cowboys really thought he deserved a big extension. If you thought he was going to be a star linebacker, then their extension at the time made a lot of sense. Obviously, he struggled last year. You hope that in the, you know, it's not a new scheme this year. It's actually what's Dan Quinn's scheme, but it's what they ran 2 years ago, so it's Jalen is familiar with it. You sort of hoped that he'd be back to the linebacker that deserved the big extension. Problem is, Keanu Neal has played great. Now, health has sort of been a concern for him, but he's basically a linebacker now. He's fast. He has been a baller. Dan Quinn loves him. So if you have Micah Parsons, Leighton Vander Esch, who's had a really good camp, and you have Keanu Neal on the field, paying $7 million to someone who's not among your top three linebackers is not a great use of resources. You know, for the Cowboys, it would be admitting a mistake, but it's better than compounding one. So I wouldn't, if you were wondering, like, is releasing Jalen Smith something that at least may be talked about? Yeah, I think it's something they may talk about.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on with Deshaun Watson? What is happening with him, with the Texans and then other teams, or the commissioner's office, or what is happening with him?
You know, he's practicing in individuals and then going inside. And then he's not thrilled with reporters for videoing the same thing every day. That's basically the synopsis here. You know, the league office has been very, very, very clear. They're looking into it. They're investigating. They're going to let the police and whatever other investigation take its course. But they are looking into it. They have, as Sports Illustrated said, they have interviewed a couple of the accusers. The commissioner's exempt list is basically for, as it states, someone who they have evidence of committed a violent crime. That is what the rules are. That is what they – now, they could always go back and say, we're going to change it a little bit. I mean, they have been known to tinker from time to time, but that is what it's for. Deshaun Watson does not fit that criteria. So as of now, he's eligible to play. He seems to be – he does not have the Texans in his plans of playing. They do not seem to be preparing him to play this season. So unless something changes, there are really only two options. He gets put on ice for the entire season, pays $10 million to do nothing, or because he said he's not going to play for them, or at some point over the next couple weeks they trade him. I haven't sensed any like huge momentum to a trade, but – if a trade like this happens, it's going to be very fast and probably very secret, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
So then, in terms of that speculation, obviously all eyes on Philadelphia, and there's a couple of moving parts on that and variables, one of them being Jalen Hurts and how he performs. What are you hearing about his first performance of the preseason and what Nick Sirianni and the rest of the front office with Howie Roseman thinking about that scenario right now?
Sounded like it was pretty good. You know, I mean, he didn't have Devontae Smith, but I mean, it looked pretty good, and it sounded like the reviews were pretty good. You know, the interesting thing about him is you don't quite know what he is, right? Like, we saw him in college, we saw him a couple different colleges, we've seen Jalen Hurts out on the field last year at the end, and definitely had some moments. Certainly helped bring me to a fantasy title, which I don't think should go into their evaluations, but from, you know, deep in my heart, it's something I will always appreciate. My first fantasy title, you never forget that.
It's still a metric, you know? Ian. It's still a metric. Maybe not to front offices, but to you it is, and I respect it. I respect it.
I mean, that was certainly a great moment in my household. Anyway, I don't know what he is. I mean, to me, he kind of reminds me of young Dak Prescott, where there's plenty of people who judge that he's not a franchise guy because he doesn't look and play like what people, generally older people, think is a franchise guy. But people need to look again. And obviously for Dak, it worked out and will continue to work out. I could see Jalen going in a similar direction. Like, he's got some of the same attributes where he creates his own opportunities because of the way he moves and looks to throw. Like, that is really valuable. Anyway, it sounds like the returns early on were pretty good.
Well, and the other variable in this is something that won't be finalized before the season begins, and that's how many first-round draft choices Philadelphia has next year. And part of that is how many games Carson Wentz winds up playing. He and Quentin Nelson having the dreaded 5 to 12 week injury. Is it? What are you hearing about that? Because I'm hearing or reading quite a bit that it could be on that 5 week end of things, and that Wentz and Nelson both have an opportunity to be seen in week one. What are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's ruled out week one, and the fact that they were at practice without a walking boot is, you know, the first like couple days is good. It's all good. It sounded like the surgeries went well. Basically, for Carson Wentz, they essentially extracted a bone from his foot that had, I guess, come loose, which, you know, if you're squeamish, not a great thing to think about.
Nope.
I would not want anyone to extract any of my bones. But that's what it was. And it sounds like rehab, you know, rest is going great. We don't know if he's going to be ready week one. And it was extremely important what Jim Irsay said on the, I think he said it on the TV broadcast this weekend, which is that we are not going to put Carson Wentz out there if he's not healthy. Wentz wants to play. I think he was out there too early with the Eagles. He played through some stuff that ended up being detrimental to him. Remember, he was out there week three and probably didn't look like himself. I mean, just he always wants to play. It's a 17-game season. You might have heard a little bigger than usual. It is important that the coach protect him from himself. So if he's not out there week one, it'll be soon. But I do think you're looking at the early end, not the 12-week end.
Okay, and then obviously when you're talking about a bone being removed from a foot, I mean, yikes. What is the – so is the plan to just go – with Eason and Ellinger and hope for the best, just in case it goes longer, or best you could tell, has there been a phone call made to a high school coach in Alabama and Phillip Rivers to see what he's doing? Or Foles is obviously the lost man in Chicago. Like, what is those moving parts on that front?
Well, Rivers has a season to coach, so I think he was pretty clear that, you know, high school football is the most important thing. Which is hilarious, but then again, at Alabama high school football, they take it extremely serious.
Right.
And he's had this job in his mind and hearts for like 10 years, so I imagine he's not joking about
it. In all seriousness, too, Ian, I mean, he probably has, you know, when you're a coach, you give a commitment to a team, and to look a high school kid in the face and say, yeah, I got to go take this job in Indianapolis, but I'll be back, you know. That's probably why he was also saying, you know, if the phone rings in November or December when he's done with the season, he might consider it, you know. But
nobody would blame him.
No.
But, like, you know, he's got a team to coach.
Correct. So, still, though, the Colts could still make the call. I'm just trying to see here, like, it is quite a, you know, a safety net that you would be either stitching or without, you know, with Wentz going into the season with – Wentz, if he to come back sometime soon with an injury that, who knows, a complication could occur week two, week three. What happens? You know, like, that's my question.
I think the main issue, there's two issues here. One, the Colts don't want to spend an asset. You know, let's say it's a mid. You're not going to trade for a quarterback who would start for you without giving up some sort of mid-round pick. So, is it worth doing that for one game or two games? I would say probably not. The other thing is, look at the way the Colts are constructed. I mean, they are a draft and develop team. They hate spending in free agency. Ask any agent. Ballard knows. Hate spending in free agency. They don't trade for a ton of guys unless they absolutely have to, like with Jacoby Brissett. They're like their own guys. They like to see what their own guys have. And so for a lot of teams, I would kind of roll my eyes if they're like, yeah, we're not looking at a trade right now. The Colts, I believe it. Because that is part of their core. So, like, if it's not Jacob Eason, could it be Sam Ellinger? Like, yeah, I mean, it really could be for a game or two.
A few more minutes left with Ian Rappaport, my colleague from the NFL Media Group here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the scoop with Tua? You know, all the whispers involving him and his readiness to be a pro and a starter and all of that business. What do you got for me on that front? Because that's the other team that everybody's associated with.
Right.
You know, Deshaun Watson, wanderlust. What do you got for me on that right now as it stands?
I think, you know, Tua has steadily come along. His camp, I would describe, as pretty good. They're getting him to come out of himself a little bit, so push the ball down the field, take some chances. You know, he tried to do that in the end zone, end up throwing an interception where he really just saw the tight end, I believe it was, a little bit too late. But that's almost okay. Like, they want him to take chances. They want him to push it deep. They want him to kind of do what he did at Alabama, which is let it go, like let it loose. So I think his camp has been good. You know, is he going to develop into the superstar franchise quarterback? Some thought. I don't know. But they definitely think he can be a more than solid franchise starter, which is, you know, for a team that is going to have a really good defense, like that's okay. I don't know how high his ceiling is going to be, but, you know, if they go into the season with Tua as their starter and he starts 17 games, I believe the Dolphins are going to be absolutely fine.
Okay. And then last one for you. It's remarkable. Here we are 1 week into the preseason, and the Rodgers-Packers story is essentially put to bed for 2021. Yeah. We'll see what happens when games start to be played and what have you. But I guess he spoke to our colleague Peter King and even left the door open to continue on here. Which does not surprise me one bit. I mean, why would anybody want to start going somewhere else late in a career? You want to stay put, certainly if you've got a championship team surrounding you in a community that you feel comfortable in. What do you think of where we stand on that subject matter right now?
Well, you're kind of right. I mean, it's which I know is what you're going for.
always, Ian. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, always. It's basically... I wouldn't say put to bed, but definitely put on ice. I thought the stuff from Peter King, Rodgers to Peter King, was pretty interesting, you know, because one, he did sort of leave the door open for a relationship with Gutekunst. He definitely didn't sound like someone we wanted to play in Green Bay, and then that's it. Remember, one of the biggest points for Rodgers was he didn't want to be a lame duck quarterback. And if that's true, then it definitely sounds like he's open to playing in Green Bay.
Sorry, you there? No, he just Bluetoothed into his car. You there, Ian?
Yep.
Oh, there he goes.
There he goes. Oh. Mover and a shaker. Mover and a shaker.
That one, yeah. You know, and it's interesting. And we'll, you know, and then we'll throw it a break here. Even though, as you know, I like closure a lot.
Yeah.
I got issues right now. Like right now, I'm freaking out. For those of you who might be new to this, I cannot. When a call drops out with a friend, I cannot just leave it at that and text, say, hey, I'll speak to you later. Like, I have to get closure. Like, right now, I'm looking down, I'm trying to see if you call him back. He's probably sitting there thinking, should I call back? They called me.
Adam's going to call him back.
Okay.
We'll get you some closure.
I can't. Goodbye, I know, like, I probably went a little long with him. Like, it's when you say somebody's 15 minutes and we went a little longer.
Right.
You know? I can't. Is he back? Is he back? Are you there, Ian? Are you there?
Explain what just happened.
I don't know what just happened.
I'll tell you exactly.
I explained to my audience
I've solved the issue.
Okay. I just.
My wife pulled in. She was out. She pulled into the garage. Bluetooth. My Bluetooth picked up on her car.
Oh my God!
Wow, automatic.
Automatic.
Do you want to know what? Do you know what she was saying about you now, Ian? Or that's a little. There's...
Unfortunately, she could only hear me detailing the Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm sure she's used to that. But let me know what you were continuing your thoughts here. That there's an openness to. So I get. Look, I'm thrilled that there's an openness and that he's. I think woe to the rest of the NFC if he is going to show up, you know, calm, cool, collected as well as he has, and just zen and totally, you know, Jupiter's aligned with Mars, and he's going to bring the same game that he brought to saving DeChambeau's bacon in Montana to the NFC. I mean, that's a problem for everyone else. I fully believe that.
I thought he played great, by the way.
No,
I know. He's a much better golfer than I anticipated.
Yeah.
He's actually like a 3.5 handicap, which I'm so jealous of. But anyway, I think the openness to potentially come back and finish his career there, assuming they want him there, was really interesting to me. That was definitely a driving force for this. And then the other thing is he is dialed in. Like, I don't think he's going to get to a post-game press conference to talk about not feeling loved this season. I mean, maybe we'll get to this again during the trade deadline. We'll see if the Packers do something. But I mean, he's at least there for the season with an openness and a directness that he may not have had in the past.
Right.
I think they're in a good spot.
Especially since the guy that they want to potentially move on from might not be able to even answer the preseason week two bell. I mean, and this guy is
right.
As I mean, it's all good in the hood there, and I just think it's remarkable based on how much we talked about it from draft day all the way to, you know, reunification day for him and the team. So I just figured I'd bring that up. Thanks for the time, Ian Rappaport. Go say hi to your wife for us, okay? Now that she's home.
I will, and I'm really curious to see what part of the conversation she heard and what she thought of my appearance on the Rich Eisen.
There you go.
So I'll let you know.
There you go. Please to text me. Now, we also got closures. Yeah, well, I feel so much better saying goodbye to Ian Rappaport. Now, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Rich.
At Rap Sheet, the man. I do, honestly. I got to have closure. I cannot, I have a rule. I have a rule with certain friends. No, you called me, call me back. I called you, I call you back. It's a simple thing.
If when phone the, when
drops
the phone
out,
tell,
I right. call you, our conversation drops out.
Right.
I'll call you back.
Got it.
You call me, phone conversation drops out. You gotta call me back. You gotta call me back.
Just quick text, like, hey.
No,
cut
text
out,
is no
sorry.
Good. Text is
a
text.
Later.
You know what that is? A text of saying, "Hey, catch you later." Yeah. It's similar. It's similar to me. It's similar to me texting you something and you just give me the thumbs up sign, which you know I cannot stand.
I actually might.
That's
got
what
one.
I always do.
I don't like it.
I know.
I don't like it. I'd rather just say, got it, understood.
LOL.
Because the thumbs up, either you like it, you might not like what I actually like, actually, in terms of liking or disliking what I've sent. Right. It's just like, Roger, received.
Right.
No, I want to know. I got to, give me a word. Give me a word.
Copy.
That's all I need. I don't need the thumbs up. I don't want it.
I actually gave you a thumbs up. I gave you a thumbs up.
I didn't like it.
All I do is respond to Rich with thumbs up, like, all the time now.
You know what I, you know what I want to just let you know in front of everybody here on the Rich Eisen Show?
You hate it?
I don't like it.
LOL.
Rich, now you do realize you're getting a thumbs up.
I mean, I hate the three LOL.
Of us. No. And it's not one of those.
I always do that, Mike.
No, and this should not be one of those that I've admitted it. And I've told you. I've communicated to you.
He knows.
I could text you, I don't like it. No, I'm telling you to your face, I don't like it.
How about a gif of a thumbs up?
Like the Chuck Norris, like,
yeah,
thumbs up.
That's at least, you know, you're at least entertaining me in something I don't like.
There you go.
Yeah, but if we've talked, right, and I understand you like closure because I'm the same way, but I'm completely fine with just a text to be like, all right, phone dropped.
Phone dropped.
No.
Because that's
no.
a lot of effort.
I call you, phone drops, I'm going to call you back.
But we're at the end of our conversation.
It doesn't matter.
Like there's nothing left. We're already saying goodbye.
Matter.
We shook
it
hands
is
already.
Courtesy of me expressing to you my desire to be courteous enough to say goodbye. And
I
mean, it's closure.
I respect that.
And if the phone drops out, and I'll tell you this right now, the phone drops out between any of us and you called me and you don't call me back, I'm going to wonder what's wrong. Are you all right? Like, literally, are you all right? I'll worry about you.
I'm just going to hit you with the thumbs up.
Now, I understand you could be in a dead zone and you can't call me back.
That happens in my apartment.
But then once you get back into a spot with reception, call me back. Okay? Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Thank you. That's it for this segment. We'll go to break.
When Rich Eisen phone etiquette.
Overreaction Monday of preseason.
Come on.
Starters have been made. Seasons have been won. Or not. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Okay, back here on Peacock Radio. Audience rejoins us in a moment. Showed you in hour number one my photograph of this Twitter. We call it a meme. What do you call it? Viral
they're memes, I guess. I mean, there's okay. No real word for
somebody
it.
Somebody said to post a 90s photograph of yourself without comment or context, and this is what I put up there. and I just said, let's get you guys involved. And then we'll post them later on.
Yeah.
You got your 90s photograph?
Yeah, I got my 90s photograph. I was just kind of going through my phone. I wasn't going to bother my mom or anything. But okay. I was just kind of seeing what I had on there. This is what I came up with.
Oh, look at that. My gosh.
That actually might be around now in 1995.
Damn.
That was before my sophomore year of high school.
Number 13 in your program. Yeah. Number one in your heart. How old are you here?
15.
Okay. Wow.
20s. Yeah, I look like Zach Wilson.
You really kind do. Of do.
You
do.
You could be Zach's like twin brother.
Although I gotta be honest. I don't know if this is the light in that photograph or not, but were you losing your lid already at that point in time?
No, it's the way that I took the photo. Because that's a picture of a photo my mom had sent.
Okay.
It's a photo of a photo.
So she took a picture of that and sent it to me. But
I mean, look at
that. That's the helmet we have here still, right?
Yeah, right.
You had Snoop's on that helmet?
That's a different helmet. That's an old version.
Why did you wind up with 13?
I remember.
Did you request 13?
I did not. I wanted, because I played quarterback in high school, so I wanted 16, but a senior had that number.
Is that Montana?
For Montana.
Right.
And someone had that already. And so I just got the. And then 12 was taken by the guy who was a starter. I was a backup.
But 12, why'd you want 12?
No, I'm just saying,
for Namath?
Just going through.
It wasn't Brady yet.
Definitely wasn't Brady yet.
Yeah. I didn't want 12. I'm just saying, 12 was already taken.
Okay.
16 was already taken. 15 was already taken. And they just handed me 13.
Because Marino.
I was like, oh, cool. Dan Marino.
Dan Marino is there. Yeah. This is 4 years before the Magic Carpet ride.
Pre-Kurt.
That's coming soon to a theater near you in the Kurt Warner story.
So Kurt can thank me for getting 13.
Take a knee, Brockman. Four points of pressure on that football.
Yeah. This is all those things. You just go one after another, like assembly line. All right, football, kneel, smile.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Move along.
And that's natural grass. Is that natural grass?
Yeah, that's a real football
natural
field.
Grass. Yeah. Natural grass.
I mean, there's 70 of us on the team, So it's just keep it moving. Picture day. Keep it moving.
All right. Are you going to get one of these 90 photographs for next hour, TJ, yay or nay?
I sent one. I found one.
Yeah.
Hey!
All right. Well, you got to just ask Ashton to get one on his phone.
Come on, man.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Hey, don't miss the thrilling new season of Departure, a Peacock original drama. Archie Punjabi stars as an investigator recruited to Michigan to probe the mysterious crash of a new high-speed train. Binge the entire series from the beginning and catch all new episodes. Streaming now only on Peacock. Sign up at peacocktv.com to get started. You can watch us every day as well, 12 to 3 Eastern time. There was a show, Brockman won't remember this. TJ, you might. And Del Tufo, you might have a shot at this. Do you remember back in the day when, the Love Boat was all the rage?
I mean,
obviously.
Love Boat.
And again, what I mean is it's like an hour-long drama.
Yep.
Or fun drama, that was. But it's an hour-long construct of a TV show where there would just be guest stars every week because they're on the conveyance.
Yes.
Like the Love Boat. Okay, or Fantasy Island, okay,
Yes.
Do you remember Super Train?
100% I remember.
There was
Super
a show called Super Train.
I've never heard of that.
Okay. 100%. I think it was on for like six episodes. Yes.
One season.
One season.
1979.
Yes.
It's like almost around the same time as Love Bone Fan.
Who are the guest stars on Super Train?
Do you have the first one?
Can you look that up? It was a show called Super Train where you would get on the train. There would be guest stars on the train.
So it did nine episodes.
Nine and done.
Which
is three more than Police Squad.
All right. Let's see. Guest stars, Tony Danza. Tony Danza
was on Super Train.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Dick Van Dyke was on it?
Definitely he was.
Dick Van Patten was on it a million times.
Everyone who did one Charo. Episode.
Paul Sand.
Abe Vigoda did one episode.
Abe Vigoda was on Super Train.
Got more rhymes than Abe Vigoda.
Peter Lawford.
Wow.
Peter Lawford was on Super Train.
Keith Coogan.
Jamie Farr.
Jamie Farr was on Super Train. Of course he was. Of course he was.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke. Let's see.
I mean, this is...
I think that was on like Saturday. I think it was on NBC as well.
Don Meredith.
No, was it Zsa Zsa?
Vicky Lawrence, George Hamilton.
Zsa Gabor.
George Hamilton. George Hamilton was on Super Train, baby.
Last week, Rich, we were trying to figure out why George Hamilton was famous, like Del Tufo brought up. We think
he's an actor.
We think he's at the point now where he's famous for being George Hamilton.
Famous for being famous.
I mean, The Godfather Part 3, he got the role because didn't want the role.
I understand.
George Hamilton was an actor in one of the best awful movies of all time called Love at First Bite.
That's the only thing we could come up with.
That was all we could come up with.
But when was the last time he was in something?
Dude.
He's been in 2021.
We went back. We looked, Rich.
You see him around town right now, and he is in some crisp, perfectly tailored suits with the pocket squares, and he is as orange as he's ever been.
So what we're saying is at this point at 10:31 on August 16th, 2021, he's more famous for being George Hamilton than for anything else.
Have you met Mike Del Tufo? It's the same thing.
That's true.
Well, Mike is on the Rich Eisen show.
He's famous for being Emmy Del Tufo. Award-winning.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Come on now.
Mike, you're basically George Hamilton.
He's very good. He's the George Hamilton of the Rich Eisen show. Mike Del Tufo.
I used to fake tan. Want me to go and do it again?
I didn't expect to go down a Super Train wormhole.
Isabel Sanford was on there. Weezy Jefferson.
I'm telling you, man, there was this whole big to-do back in the 70s.
That's what they would do.
After Love Boat. Give me something that moves, where people can fall in love or have dramatic sort of interludes.
Yep.
And it's an hour and we're done.
Starts and ends.
And let's cut Jack Klugman a check and get him on somewhere else.
Roddy McDowell. Hey, Rich.
Roddy McDowell. I met him one day.
Rich, I mean, you know, we're talking all this TV, and I mean, we do have Rich Eisen Productions, and I know you're always looking to expand.
Yes.
How about RES Productions, maybe we go and we reboot this Super Train.
Super Train? We're going to bring
back
Super Train?
I will use the same, stop me if you've heard this response before.
Okay.
Okay? Same response you gave my now 13-year-old son, Xander, when he called in to give you reasons to do a Rich Eisen Show TikTok page, which, by the way, he came home from camp and noticed you have been posting quite a bit on. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Rich Eisen show, though.
But when we said we should make videos for the TikTok page, your response was, you know, that's more work, right? You question my work ethic in front of my then 12-year-old son.
I don't think that's how that. No, I don't think that no, was how
the
I
way
was
I
saying.
Took it. The way I took it. Told my son, you know, your dad's going to have to work harder. How dare you? So we can reboot this. You're going to have to work hard.
That's fine.
How does that feel to be on the business end of that, TJ?
I'm with that, man.
You got to study lines.
I'm from that word, Rich. I'm from that world, rather.
I don't think he kind of likes being on the business end of that response.
I'm fine with that. I've got 17 extra hours in the day. You know, we can super train it up. Let's go.
Okay.
Super train.
You want to get to Overreaction Monday, everybody? Here we go. Preseason week number one in bulk, in full, in the books. Means there's a lot to overreact to. Let's hit it. Go for it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Monday.
Please hit it.
All right, boys. This is going to be an all quarterback edition because we're kind of focused on that.
That's what it's all
after
about
preseason
right now.
Week one.
It's a quarterback-driven overreacting league.
The Bears should make Justin Fields QB1 ASAP.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Honestly. Like, we all know Andy Dalton, what we will get from him. And I say that fully knowing that this is a you-never-know league. I love the guy. He is completely 100% someone to root for.
Four times to the playoffs?
But if you are in the Chicago Bears fan base and you are champing at the bit to get somebody to put this parade down Michigan Avenue and be somebody who you just don't get off, if you will, from somebody else's team scrap heap, or you try and draft somebody. You haven't had somebody since the Punky QB who you can absolutely go crazy for. And I understand Jay Smoking Jay Cutler did what he did, and so on and so forth. You can't see what this kid does and be so electrified by him in the preseason and sit him. And I know it's a huge, tough assignment week one against the Rams and Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, but better now than later. That said, if Nagy thinks that he's not going to be able to protect himself, as Lewis Riddick said earlier in the program, or he thinks that there's going to be too much neck up that the kid won't be able to handle adversity was, then you got to sit him. But I think it's just, it's go time. Do it. Go for it. They were all wondering, can Deshaun Watson do it? You remember we had Dabo Swinney basically say that anybody who thinks he shouldn't be a first-round guy should be fired?
Yep.
Michael Jordan in cleats and what have you. And Tom Savage start the first half of one game, and then they threw Deshaun Watson in there, and then he was a starter. Week two of his rookie season on a short game. I was there in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he was struggling mightily against the Bengals defense. But then he runs one in from half, from mid half court, as Booch said during halftime. Do it. Not an overreaction, I don't think. Go for it.
All right, let's go to New England, guys. Mac Jones will be the Pats starter sooner than we think.
I think that's true, too. I think it's true, too. I mean, the kids, like I said earlier on in the program, the kids from Alabama, there's nothing that Belichick's going to throw at him that he already doesn't know is coming from the place of hard coaching. I mean, that's where, you know, if you got through things in Nick Saban and you thrived under Nick Saban, you're going to be able to thrive under Bill Belichick. I just remember when I first got into the television business and my news director didn't say jack to me about what a good job I did. I didn't need that because my first editor at the Staten Island Advance was such a mean old cur. Like, he reminded me of Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. I came out of that experience not needing the affirmation of the people who are in charge of what I do. And I think that's what's probably coming from Mac Jones' experience. I think he's in a perfect spot, and I think that the offense is perfectly made and is ready for him. And I think, as you know, the Jets will knock Cam Newton out in week number two, and out will trot Mac Jones. And six Super Bowls later, you'll be talking about him.
That would be great. Obviously, that would be great.
Mac Marvelous. Marvelous Mac. Tom Terrific. Whatever you want to say. What else you got
Mac
over there,
10.
Chris?
Guys, the Saints are wondering. The Saints are wondering if Drew Brees can unretire.
That's an overreaction. You know what?
Six turnovers. Over the weekend.
I get it. That's an overreaction. I still think that Sean Payton's going to figure out what needs to be done, and that, you know, and if Jameis gets the start, and he cannot stay away from the interceptions, if he does another 30 for 30 type season, you'll see Taysom Hill in there more often than not. And I think you could see a quarterback system that goes back and forth with each other. And Sean Payton will be able to handle that, get through this season, and draft somebody else. They're not. Drew Brees is going to sit on the NBC set, and that's an overreaction.
Trade for Russell Wilson?
I obviously, that'll be something next year. But Sean Payton is somebody who can figure out what to do. And if he starts Jameis and Jameis starts winging it all over the lot and can't take care of the football, then Sean Payton will sit him and put Taysom Hill in there and have a different offense. And then bring in Jameis on third and long and he'll just wing it down the field. I mean,
I don't know.
You not put that past Sean Payton to have a two quarterback system in the NFL and make it work? Or not have it tear up an offense?
I'd say Sean Payton's ego, he would try it and then realize it quickly what doesn't work.
I don't know. I think if anybody can make it work, it's him. I'm not ready to hit that panic button yet for the Saints.
Next, top three picks in the draft. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. They showed flashes, but clearly work still in progress.
Oh, well, yeah. I think that makes total complete sense. I think Trevor Lawrence will eventually win the job. I can't wait to see how he does it. Must be maybe one throw that he makes that puts him over the top. Zach Wilson could sit there and absolutely, you know what down his leg, and he's still starting week one.
He could go 30 for 30 this year, I think.
You know what, though? Let him just make all the mistakes.
Yeah, I think
you could see that he can throw on the run, man. He can really throw. He could throw and move, which is exactly what you need in the NFL, man.
Look at Trey Lance.
I know. And then Trey Lance is in the perfect spot. And I wouldn't be surprised if Garoppolo starts and Lance comes in and has, like, if you will, a package. Garoppolo looks good, and the team loves him. I think that's a proper assessment of what's going on. Yeah. What else?
Last one. I know Ian told us not to be worried, but the Cowboys should be very concerned about Dak Prescott's injury.
Dude. I mean, Ian basically came on the air and said he laughs at all the people thinking that he's got a problem. I don't know.
Like, he's not throwing real footballs.
I don't know, man. He says don't worry about it. That means he's talking to the team. That means he's talking to the agent. It means he's talking to the player, the people around him. Don't worry about it. All I'm saying is that if he's got a pitcher's injury and they're calling the Yankees and they're calling the Rangers to say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? That tweet... That tweet from the Dallas Cowboys, that could be read as Arnie or Jerry Seinfeld. It is not a setback, and it's not a reason to worry, but Dak Prescott's planning on getting another MRI. It's not a setback.
It's not a setback.
It's not a setback.
No reason to worry.
I prefer the Jerry way.
Yeah, higher register the whole time.
It's not a setback. It was not a setback.
That is a higher register tweet if there ever was one.
There's nothing to see here.
Okay, I hope so.
I mean, we'll find out tomorrow on Hard Knocks.
Oh, gosh, I don't think you'll find a darn thing out on Hard Knocks.
We'll see it probably play out a little bit.
Maybe.
I mean, it obviously makes for good drama, so.
But Ian basically called us out for overreacting on that, so he's like, all right.
But he's not going to play in the preseason. So we're going to see Dak play week one and then,
by the way,
without seeing him play any football?
I said the exact same thing last week. I don't have the cachet that Ian has, but I said the same thing. Like, we're getting all in arms over a tweet. Like I said, this didn't come from Rich Dalrymple. This didn't come from Jerry Jones or Charlotte Jones or Stephen Jones or any of the Joneses. This was someone in the social media department.
Could you imagine they all got together in the votive candle room, Jerry Jones, that... DeMarcus Ware told us about, right? Yeah. He lights a votive candle when he wants to start freaking you out. And they're all in there.
Let's write
Jerry
this tweet.
And Jerry Jones is like, now, all right, Dax need another MRI. I want it. I want peace of mind. Peace of mind.
That's
what we want. We just want it. But how are we going to handle it? I know. Let's send out a tweet.
Tell everyone not to
worry. It's not to worry.
Don't
send
worry.
Send out a not to worry tweet. All right? Let's do it. Who we call?
And Charlotte's there.
Imagine.
But
And then his grandson is like, pulls out the phone, types it out. Does this look good, guys?
And then Jerry's like,
talk to text.
Oh, you put it on IG stories too? Put it on IG stories.
Settle down just a little bit.
There it is. Thank you so much.
Because everyone will get all riled up because we're the Cowboys.
There is people are overreacting to something that we saw this weekend from the officials. And I'm gonna tell everybody to pull it back, dial it back too.
All right. Well,
that's coming up next.
Absurd.
That's coming up next. It's coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
The Usual Suspects. How many times do you have to read that script before you kind of got it?
How many times did my agent have to ask me to read it? You know, these were two 25-year-olds, the writer and the director, hadn't done anything. And you know, this was 1994. I was at a point only 2 years after Few Good Men where I did cross the goal line from having to audition to getting offers. And when you're getting offers, which is rarefied air, you know, you get on the phone with your agent and he tells you what the projects are that are coming our way.
Yeah.
And he would tell me about this script. And I, you know, so the questions would be, who wrote it? Who's directing it? Who are my co-stars? Because you're guilty through association, right? You want to be lifted by these entities. And he kept coming back to the usual. So, well, who are these guys? He said, trust me, just read. So I got to page 5 and I called him and said, I'm in, no matter what, I'm in. And then Brian Singer, the director, said, I want Kevin in the movie. I've promised to meet with 2 different actors to audition. I can't not have them come in. I want Kevin to do it, but I have to let them come in and audition. And I said to my agent, is this an offer? What are you saying? And he said, no, it is. He wants you to do the movie, but out of obligation to the agents and what have you, you know, you, it's protocol. You can't not see these people. And I said, well, I'm not going to let some actor come in and steal my part.
Right.
Tell them I'll come in and read for an offer. My agent said, yeah, no, you're not doing that.
Right.
You know, there's rules to this game.
Right.
As someone who's newly at the, you're getting offers.
Yeah, don't do it.
You don't go in and read.
Exactly,
you
right.
idiot. Right. But I didn't want to wait, so I went in and read and got the part.
And you got it.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, look, the movie's lightning in a bottle. You needn't look further than the fact that Stephen Baldwin's great in the film.
Right.
And to know that it's a fluke.
And I tweet out his look of just shooting, you know, at the lineup, that look he gives to the camera.
Yes.
Anytime the kicker, Brandon McManus, makes a kick for the Denver Broncos, like, just, it's McManus.
It's, you know, McManus. What I mean?
And then obviously Kaiser Soze is just a mythical character that people always bring up.
Yeah. So when you see the movie, it's one of the great, you know, surprise endings. But I'll tell you, when you read the script, it felt more impactful because when you're reading, you're imagining this world. And you're page turning. It's such a page turner as a read, that script. And when you get to that moment in the script, I'm telling you, it was more shocking than seeing it happen in the movie. For me, anyways, the experience.
The Usual Suspects in a Theater Near You for the first time debuted on this date in 1995. Oof, oof. By the way, I was so excited to tell him my Brandon McManus tweet story. I totally overlooked his broadside at Stephen Baldwin.
Totally missed that too the first time.
Oh yeah, look at that. Nice one right there. I like it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just showed Kevin Pollak on this show a few years ago. Usual Suspects debuted in theaters near you today in 1995.
Wow.
Dude, that movie is 26 years old. Every single time I hear something like that, I think, when I was younger, what was a 26-year-old movie?
Yeah, I always do that, too.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. 26 years old. That is still as great as it gets. That is a great movie.
Great movie, man.
Giancarlo Esposito in that one, too,
man.
Yeah.
He's great in everything. Check out that video and any appearance from the Rich Eisen Show. Our YouTube feed, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, is the way you can check out our entire archive. So, people are freaking out over the weekend over the first initial application of the new emphasis in the National Football League from the officiating department. Mm-hmm. So, there are new rules that are instituted, and then there are the dreaded emphasis.
Points of emphasis.
Points of emphasis.
Yeah.
And what the league will say is the rules are on the book. We're just making sure that we will emphasize this gets called. And this year, the old point of emphasis is the taunting penalty. 15 yards for taunting. And there was a run that took place in the Colts, right? The Colts versus Panthers game.
Yeah.
And I forget the name of the runner. He a heck of a run, an old angry run, which brings me to point out that Kyle Brandt will be on the show on Wednesday as our first guest on Wednesday's show.
Benny LeMay, Rich.
Benny LeMay.
Benny LeMay.
What? Well, he found out what you LeMay not do.
I know.
In the NFL, and that is
have fun.
Huh?
Have fun.
Well, it's not fun. They don't want you looking down at somebody and doing anything. You don't. If you're going to celebrate, turn around. Look away. Look away.
Come on.
I'm hideous.
Look away.
Look away.
To quote Chris Brockman, what are we doing here?
Now, thank you, what are we doing here?
He carried like seven dudes.
Yeah.
What it sounds like is an owner or two in the competition committee is watching from wherever he is watching or she is watching, mm-hmm. and wherever their family members are watching, and thinking, that stinks. That shouldn't be in our game. And they made a call from the competition committee and had it approved that we're going to cut this stuff out. Now, I remember when they made a rule about the celebration penalties. No props. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Can't use props. Can't use.
That was the height of Chad doing all
that. That was height of, yeah, stuff. Chad yeah. taking the pylon and using it as like a mini putter, right? All of that.
Those were the
stuff.
Good old days.
Can't use the ball as a prop. Can't go to the ground. Can't go anything. I remember I went
can't
up to
Mike. Can't place a cell phone.
I remember I went up to Mike Pereira, who was the head of NFL refs at the time. And I remember I saw Mike. This was in Tampa, Florida. I remember this exactly happened, where it happened, because I was right. I'm like, you're making a mistake. And his response to me was, well, you need to then reach out to all the youth football and high school coaches, the letters that we get from them saying, you guys need to knock it off because it's happening at our level. And it's teaching kids the wrong thing to do. So you need to help us out. And I'm wondering, I don't know, I haven't reached out. I don't know for sure. I'm wondering if this might be coming from that spirit intent as well. I don't know. All I know is that if you are sitting at home and having the same reaction as TJ Jefferson and Brockman and saying that this is awful and no fun and anything like that, the good news is the preseason is the moment in which you see a flag for Benny LeMay.
Benny LeMay.
That's, you see the flags now to let everybody know, knock it off. I don't think you're going to see it in the regular season. If you remember a couple of years ago, the point of emphasis was something to do with making sure that the player hits in the right spot. Defense, that the rule of emphasis was it's on you as the defender to find the right strike zone. Mm-hmm. And in the preseason, all sorts of flags were coming out, and you're like, oh, my God. And there was one preseason weekend, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, that people were going nuts. How terrible is this going to be? Yeah. And then the regular season starts, and we don't see
same thing, too,
those calls.
The running back with their head down.
Right, with their head down, the running back initiating contact outside of the
tackle,
a penalty on the running back, and we're all flipping out. Yeah. And then it really didn't materialize in the regular season. The problem is when the point of emphasis stuff goes a little overboard in the regular preseason and still goes into the regular season, that's when Tom Brady has to tweet out during the middle of a Thursday night game, all these holding penalties are insane. It makes the game unwatchable. And then it goes away.
It went away.
Right. So if you think the taunting stuff is beyond the pale and the no fun league, wait till next week in the preseason. You're going to see it. My prediction is you're going to see it tons more next week, where they're telling the officials, you see anything of a player flexing, barking, looking, staring down at an opponent, especially down at an opponent.
Right.
Opponent down on ground, player flexing, staring, barking, standing above said player, an eye contact is made, that's your 15-yard penalty. And I bet you every single coach in every single meeting room is pointing out Benny LeMay to everyone saying, knock it off. If you want to flex and bark, turn around and do it away from the guy you just beat.
Right.
Then we're cool. And I know you think this might be a little too much. I don't know where it's coming from. That's my prediction. And if it does get too much during the regular season, have Tom Brady tweet about it. Fixed. Done. Because that's what happened a couple years ago. That's a fact. The point of emphasis on holding.
It's
Brady
yeah.
tweeting out, this is unwatchable. Yeah. Finished. Poof. Like Kaiser Soze, 26 years ago, gone.
Gone.
When we come back, hour number three, our friend Nate Burleson. And then three subject matters that I missed while I was out of the chair last month. Don't miss that coming up.
Okay,
we're still here.
Usual Suspects, 1995, right?
Yes, sir.
26 years before that was 1969. Here are some movies that came out in 1969.
The year I was born.
Midnight Cowboy.
Okay, I'm walking here.
Easy Rider. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Ooh, damn.
The original True Grit with John Wayne. Hello, Dolly.
Oh, great movie.
When was the last time you saw Hello, Dolly?
It's on my DVR.
Whoa.
That's random.
There you go.
Hercules in New York with an unknown named Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Fact.
So do you set your DVR for all the Carol Channing movies?
No.
Or is she in Hello, Dolly?
Who's
in Hello,
Dolly?
Who?
That's Barbara Streisand. Carol Channing was on Broadway.
Yeah, okay. Hello, Dolly.
I love musicals. My father directed musicals as a
musical
kid. When I was a kid, and I used to go. And
a young Kurt Russell in The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes.
Okay.
The original Italian Job.
But by the way, we get the point. I want to stick.
I'm just
around.
Throwing some out.
I just want to you, sir, of all people who have been on the wrong end of the whole concept of you've got mail. And okay, and all that. You've been, I mean, Aaron Rodgers even gave you grief at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago about your love of You've Got Mail, unknowing
that it was connection.
That you were homesick
personal
in college.
Yeah,
you were, you know, and you and your mom went to see You've Got Mail together. Right, and it's a beautiful thing. He pointed out that that's not even the best Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie. And he's right about that. But you should take a back seat because we just heard this man has DVR'd and kept. On his DVR.
Two movies.
Hello, Dolly.
Oklahoma and Hello, Dolly. Two of my favorite movies.
All right, we're going to need you to take a picture and to prove to us that it's on the DVR.
Have you saved it?
I don't know if
saved it. Is it saved?
I might have.
Or has it got like,
I might have actually
does
only
it have
for
that
one
yellow
reason.
The triangle with the
I'm
exclamation point on it.
A lot of the games I'm mixing, so they blow out the old ones.
Gotcha.
Right. I don't keep it as
Hello Dolly got
Hello
blown
Dolly
out.
Got blown out.
Hold on. You know what blew out Hello Dolly? That boxing thing that he did a couple weeks ago.
That guy.
I'm going to do one.
Where
this
did
week.
It take place? You know,
that
I
team
remember.
Against that other team. That team against that other team and that other sport that he
Dallas
was doing.
There.
Pacquiao Ugas this week.
What are you doing?
Pacquiao Ugas.
Oh, okay.
It should have been Spence. He got replaced by Ugas. See, I
Look
know
at
my
him.
Stuff.
Wow.
I'm spitting.
I mean, he's right. It should have been Spence.
Right. New to the DVR. Hello, Ugas.
Ooh, Ugas.
Doesn't have the same ring to it. Hello.